So let's turn to Psalm 119 again. This will probably be the last sermon on Psalm 119. We've just been talking about some different themes of this wonderful psalm. And if you have a handout, you'll notice that my outline doesn't follow, you know, the verses in order. I'm just going to be preaching on some different benefits of God's word that you can find in Psalm 119. So we'll read these verses, but I'm not going to take them in, you know, the exact order that they go in. You'll follow along in the sermon. So let's just open Psalm 119, and I'll point out the verses we're going to read. It is written in the bulletin, too. So this is God's word, Psalm 119, verse 11, first of all. We read this a couple weeks ago, but we'll read it again. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Then go to verse 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. And then verse 93. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. And then verse 105. This one we know. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And then finally 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. So that's God's word. And if you would go back and, you know, like I said, they're written in the bulletin. If you would go back and look at those verses, you're going to see that there are benefits of reading and understanding and believing in God's word. That's what we're talking about tonight. I don't know if you've ever had it, but sometimes when somebody acts like an expert about something they're not an expert in, it's pretty annoying. For example, let's say you would read one book on scuba diving, and then next week at church, talk to me and act like you're an expert on scuba diving. It would be somewhat annoying for me to listen to. Or let's just say one of your friends watched one video on YouTube about CPR, and they started acting like the authority on CPR. It would probably annoy you as well. It's sometimes annoying when people act like experts about something that they're not experts in. On the other hand, it's not annoying when somebody actually is an expert and they speak to you about something you're interested in. For example, if you were interested in scuba diving and this man who's been scuba diving for 20 years would speak, you'd listen. Or if you were interested in CPR and an expert on CPR who has been doing it for years was giving a lesson on it, you would listen. It wouldn't be annoying at all. So when we think about those things and we think about Psalm 119, the psalmist in Psalm 119 is speaking from real life experience. He's gone through the ringer. He's gone through a lot of life, and he's understood and found out the benefits of God's word. And he shares them in God's inspired way. So that's what we're talking about tonight, this benefit of God's word or the benefits of God's word. Now, we just read a few different verses. It was five different verses for these things that I'm going to talk about tonight, but there are a lot more. I had to weed some out. I didn't want to overwhelm you with different verses. But if you study Psalm 119, you're going to find more than just five verses on these things. So we're going to look at five things tonight, five things that God does through his word by the power of his Holy Spirit. The benefits of his word, five things that God does through his word by the power of his Holy Spirit. Now, first of all, and this is just a reminder from a couple weeks ago in verse 11, it helps us fight sin. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I'm not going to go into detail because we've already talked about that, but it's good to remember that all the time. It's worth repeating, isn't it? That one of the benefits of knowing and believing and following God's word is that it helps us fight sin. And I can even speak from personal experience, and probably many of you can as well. When you're working hard on memorizing the word, or when you've been reading the word and studying it and open to it, it actually does help you avoid and fight sin. On the other hand, you've probably had those times in life where you've been away from God's word, you haven't been reading it, you haven't been studying it, and it does seem like you fall into sin a little more easy. We can tell from experience that the psalmist is right. The word is true. So if you're giving in to sin lately and you're wandering and not reading the word, well, open the word. It will help you fight sin. It's not because we're so strong and pious that we can fight sin, but it's because this is what God's word does for us. It helps us to fight sin. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's just a reminder. That's the first benefit of God's word. It helps us fight sin. Okay, well, let's look at some more detail at other verses. Now go to verse 105. And this verse teaches the second point for tonight. It helps us go the right way. God's word helps us go the right way. Verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word helps us go the right way. Now, we know what a lamp is. Of course, back then they didn't have electricity. They would have some kind of an oil-burning lamp or a candle type of a thing. We today plug in a lamp, but we all know what this is. It gives light to a room or to a path. Your word is a lamp to my feet. And actually, in the Hebrew, it's singular for its foot. And it's almost seeming like the psalmist is saying, each step that I take, each footstep, your word is a lamp for. It helps us go the right way. So we don't, you know, as it were, trip, stub our toe and get hurt in the dark. And it also says, in the second line of the psalm, it says, your word is a light to my path. It's a different thing, but it's similar. And we know what a light is. The sun gives light. Lamps give light. And here it says, the word is a light to my path. And that's easy imagery, isn't it? If you've ever walked at night and you have a headlamp on your forehead, that's a light for your path. So you know which way to go. That light helps you take the right way. It's kind of like, remember, in the pillar of fire by night in the wilderness. That would light up the way so the Israelites knew which way to go, which way to follow, the right way. And this is what we talked about earlier in the first sermon on Psalm 119. It talks about walking in the law of the Lord and walking in the way of the Lord, the good way of blessing from God. So we understand this, right? We know this verse. God's word helps us to walk his way. It gives light for us to go the safe way and the right way, his will. We all know how a car's headlamps work. The word is like a car's headlamps to help us stay on the road so we don't swerve off in the dark. Now, kind of on the other side, this means that if you don't have or read or believe or obey God's word, you're not going to go the right way. You kind of got to think negatively. If you don't have the light of God's word as a lamp for your feet, you're going to wander off the path. You're going to trip. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall. You know, going through life without God's word is like driving on a curvy road in the middle of the night with your headlights off. There's going to be a wreck. That's what it's like going through life without God's word. And a lot of us know people who have not followed God's word, who have been making bad choices, and their life is a wreck. They're either very sick, they're very poor, or they're even in prison because they haven't followed the light of God's word. Have there been times in your life where you know for sure God's word has led you away from the wrong path? As Christians, we have that experience sometime where there are different paths we might take and we remember God's word and it enlightens our path the right way. We have that from experience. And we need this lamp. We need this light of God's word because there are so many things that influence us today. I'm thinking of movies and TV, news media, social media, or people around us. There are so many things that influence us today. And most of these things aren't helping us on the right way, are they? We have to especially think of that for kids. There are so many things that are trying to lead you off of God's path today into darkness. But we really need God's word, don't we? These other things don't really give us light, but God's word gives us light. And like one author said, I need a lamp because I'm surrounded by a world that will otherwise make me stumble into danger. So another benefit of God's word is it helps us go the right way. And, you know, there's an image. The imagery here kind of is a glimmer of the New Testament truth that Jesus is the way and the light of the world. The word is a light. Jesus is a light, the New Testament says. So when we trust him and follow him, that's the path of eternal life. There's the gospel here, at least in glimmer form. Jesus is a light. Okay, so that's the second benefit of God's word. It helps us go the right way, God's way. Now, thirdly, it's in verse 130. We'll read that in a moment, but it gives us understanding. God's word gives us understanding. Look at 130, verse 130. The unfolding of your words gives light, It imparts understanding to the simple. Now, unfolding of your words here in the beginning of verse 130, there's opening imagery. That Hebrew is kind of different. You could translate it a few ways. It could be the opening of your word gives light. So it's almost like the imagery here is that if, let's pretend you're in a dark room, and there's a light, a room with a light on right next to it, and the door's shut. If you're in the dark room and you open the door, light will flood in. That's what the imagery is here. The unfolding or opening of your words gives light. It shines light into our heart. And light here would have to do with knowledge and understanding, as the second line talks about. Knowing the truth of God. And actually, in Luke 24, remember after Jesus' resurrection, when he rose from the dead, he was walking on the Emmaus Road with his disciples. And he, explained, beginning in Moses, he explained to them the scriptures, the things about himself. Afterwards, those disciples said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures?" That's very similar imagery here. This, the word opened gives us light, the truth of God, and according to the New Testament, the truth of Jesus. And, you know, by nature, our hearts are very dark. By nature, we're foolish. By nature, we're blind and ignorant of God's ways because of the fall and because of our own sin. And if you want to see darkness, just look at false religions. Remember, we studied false religions, I think it was a year ago. We talked about Mormonism and Islam and Buddhism. There's darkness, that people are blind. And so by nature, we are dark like that. And if it were not for God's grace in opening the word to us, we still would be in darkness like that. But when God opens his word, then we receive that light and wisdom and truth, and it illumines our hearts and minds, and we can know the truth of God. You can't get true saving knowledge about God and the world and people apart from Scripture. Special revelation. So unfolding the word gives us light. Now, the second half of that verse says a similar thing. It imparts understanding to the simple. Now, we don't usually call people simple. I guess sometimes we call people simple, but not in the same sense that the psalmist is. A simple person here in the Psalms is something like a novice or a rookie. Somebody who is not trained and still learning. So we know what this means. That the word gives understanding to somebody who's a rookie. Somebody who's a novice. Somebody who's not trained. And understanding here, of course, would be the things of God. The truth of who God is and what salvation is in the Messiah. So this is great. This is good. I like this verse so much. If God opens the word, a young teenager can get understanding. If God opens his word, a person from a tribe in South America who can't read or write can understand the things of God. If God opens his word, and he'll give understanding to the simple, even somebody with a mental handicap. This is what the word does. This is a benefit of the word. You don't need a PhD. You don't need 12 years of schooling. You don't need these things to understand God's word. You need him to open it and shine light in your hearts and minds. Of course, education is not a bad thing. But what the psalmist is saying here is God's word gives this wisdom, not man's education. One author put it this way. It's very possible to be possessed of all the treasures of literature and yet to remain in total ignorance of everything that is most important for a sinner to know. A person may be very smart, very intellectual, but if the word has not been opened to him, he's a fool in God's eyes without understanding. There's a book that floats around in conservative Lutheran circles. It's called The Hammer of God. There's a long story. I won't go into the whole thing, but part of it is about this. Most of it is about this young, highly educated Lutheran pastor who's kind of a liberal bent. And he thinks he knows everything as he comes into his first church. He just went through seminary and he thinks he's brilliant. And as he got into his first church, his first parish, he thought these older Christians, you know, they were just fuddy-duddy and old school and you know, just past their prime. He thought that he had understanding and they didn't. But as he did his ministry, he learned the opposite was true. That even though they were simple farm people, they knew the things of God better than he did as a seminary-educated student. So the word gives us understanding. It gives understanding to the simple. So pray, give me understanding, Lord. Open your heart and open your word to illumine my heart. All right, the fourth one is it gives us hope. It gives us hope. And this is verse 43. Go back there. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. Rules could be judgments. My hope is in your judgments, or declarations or announcements. You know, like in the Old Testament, the kings were supposed to obey God's judgments or announcements or his rules. Now, this is interesting. Notice what the psalmist is not saying. When he says, my hope is in your rules, he's not saying, my hope is in my obedience to your rules. That's not what he's saying, is it? He's not having hope in his obedience. But his hope is in God's decrees and God's declaration. What God says is where his hope is found. So think of it. You know, in Old Testament terms, his hope would be found in the declaration like this. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will be with you. His hope is in words like this. Don't worship other gods. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we know that God's gospel promises give us hope. When we talk about Jesus' death on the cross and about forgiveness in his blood and the assurance of eternal life through faith in him, those promises give us hope. But here, it kind of broadens it out and it says God's rules even give us hope, including his declarations. Now, that kind of maybe strikes us a little bit, makes us a little have some tension, because usually we understand the law to show us our misery, to show us our sin, like Paul says. So how can there be hope in something that shows us our sin? Well, here's where this great reformed understanding of the third use of the law comes in, that the law is also a guide for our Christian life. He was a redeemed sinner. He knew he wasn't, the psalmist knew he wasn't saved by his obedience. His hope was in God's justice or God's judgments. And so in the third use of the law, we can say that God's law gives us hope because we know it shows us the right way. We follow out of gratitude. And that's why our larger catechism says the law sweetly complies with the gospel, especially in the Christian's life. We know we're redeemed from it, and it's not our burdened taskmaster anymore, but we're freed from the burdens of the law, and now we have grace to obey it out of gratitude. So in that sense, we can say God's promises and commands give us hope. And we can think about Jesus' words, I love you, I gave my life for you. That gives us hope. We can think of his words, follow me, take up your cross, I'll give you rest. That gives us hope. So as a child of God, when you read the word of your Father here in Scripture, get hope from it. Go to the word with a hopeful expectation that God will give you hope. Now, at the beginning of this verse, he also prays that God wouldn't take his word from him. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. It's almost like David, take not your Holy Spirit from me. So what the psalmist is saying here, if you think of these two phrases, the psalmist says, if you take your word from my mouth, I will have no hope. If you take your rules and your judgments out of my mouth, my hope is gone. And so here's a reminder again, there's a great and terrible danger in not having God's word. If you don't know and believe and read and trust God's word, first of all, as we learned, you'll be walking in the darkness. But second of all, here, you won't have any hope. If you don't open and read and study and believe in God's word, you will live a hopeless life. You might have some kind of worldly hope. You know, I hope that I can go on vacation next summer. I hope that I get a raise. But you won't have a solid hope of eternal life without the word. That's what the psalmist is saying here. And that's very good for us to remember, because sometimes as we go through the Christian life, we see unbelievers seemingly have it made. They can live how they want. They don't have to think about morals. They can do anything they want. And sometimes when we're at our weakest, we think, man, that would be nice. But then the scripture reminds us that life without God's word is a hopeless life. They can have their amoral way of living. They can have all of their stuff. But give me God's word, which gives me hope. Life without God's word is not a good thing. Life without God's word is dark and hopeless. And like the prophet says, there is no peace for the wicked. So kids, I especially want you to remember that. I know growing up in a Christian home, sometimes you wish you could do things that your non-Christian friends do. You wish you could see those movies they see. You wish you could listen to music that they listen to. But then your parents say, well, no, we got to follow God's word and please him when we live. And so remember, though, that following God's word and listening to the word, there's hope there. There's hope there. So we pray with the psalmist, don't take your word from me, because without it, I would have no hope. All right. The last one, the fifth one tonight is from verse 93. And this one is another benefit of God's word is it gives us life. Look at verse 93. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. And the older version would say you have quickened me. He says God's precepts, his counsels, his words have given him life. Or another way you could translate this has revived him or sustained him in his life. And we read that in verse 50 a couple weeks ago. My comfort is in affliction is that your promise gives me life. So there's an efficacy. That means a different word, something like efficientness. The efficacy of God's word is that it gives life. It does things. Not only does it give us hope and light, but the word of God gives us life. And so this is great. One of the means, one of the tools or instrument God uses to bring eternal life to sinful people is his word. He brings the promises of the gospel, the promises of his love. We hear it. And by the Spirit's power, that gives us life in Jesus. And this is what the New Testament teaches. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. John 6. And so we can call them words of life. Or like we learned this morning in John 10, he calls his sheep by name and they hear his voice because it's a powerful, effective call. So again, if you're a Christian, you know this from experience. You've felt the power of God's word in your heart and you know that you're not living in darkness anymore because you had the light of God's truth and Jesus shine in your hearts. And you have life. Because you know the word changed your heart by the power of the Spirit. You know that it gives you life. So we don't get life by trying really hard to obey God. That doesn't bring us eternal life. We know that we don't have this kind of life in the newest, Samsung Galaxy or iPhone. We know that we don't have this life in the home or boat or car of our dreams. We don't have this life by some so-called divine spark within all of us. But we receive this life, like James 1 says, from the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. This is the power of God's word. And that's why the psalmist says in the beginning of the verse, I'm never going to forget your rules, your judgments, your words. That's verse 93 again. He says there, I will never forget your precepts because by them you've given me life. God has done such a great thing for me, for my soul, for myself, through the power of his word. I'm never going to forget it. I can't forget it. I won't. Because it's done such a great thing for me. I don't know if many of you have literally been on the brink of death and somebody, saved you. I don't know, pulled you out of a burning car in a car accident. I don't know if any of us have had that. But if somebody would do that for you, you would never forget, would you? You would remember that until the day you die. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. Lord, you've given me life by your word. I'm never going to forget that. This statement is a result of the Spirit's work in the psalmist's heart. So when the Spirit works in us, he makes the word touch us and renew us and revive us. And we experience it in such a way that it's seared in our hearts. Maybe if you look back in your Christian life, you can remember certain verses even that touched you and changed you. And worked in you. That's how God's word works, by the power of the Spirit. And it's not just in our head. We talk about understanding, yes, but that also is about our heart. I have hidden your word in my heart. And so this should be our Christian resolve to never forget the word of God. To never forget the precepts of the Lord. By grace, we should say, I'm going to remember the word. I'll forget other things. That's okay. But I don't want to forget the word. Charles Bridges, one of the commentators on this, from, I think, 150 years ago, he said, this is the language of sincerity, not of perfection. Meaning, he's not perfectly remembering God's word, but he says, sincerely, I want to remember the word. And that should be our sincere desire as well, because of what it's done for us. Okay, so those are just some verses on the power or the benefits of God's word. It helps us fight sin. It helps us go the right way. It gives us understanding. It gives us hope. And it gives us life. And so this is why the law, the word of the Lord, is the psalmist's delight. I delight in the law of the Lord. I delight in his word, in his precepts, his judgments. And this is why we should delight in the word. So there's some application to do here. I think one thing that when we learn about the benefits of God's word is we need to respect it, don't we? Think of the things that God does through his word and by his Holy Spirit. So we should respect his word. It's powerful and effective. So when it's read and preached here, we want to pay attention to it. When the word is read and preached, that's not a time to do all kinds of other things, but it's time to, by God's grace, do your best to listen. Do your best to listen. Respect the word read and preached. Another application would be stay in the word. Read it. Know it. Memorize it. I know that as we get older, it's maybe a little more difficult to memorize, but all of us can memorize phrases. And if you slowly memorize phrases of Scripture, that adds up. And that's how you hide God's word in our hearts. We want to stay in the word because of all these great benefits. And again, I know I've reminded you, but you have to remember, if you don't stay in the word, it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to fight sin. It's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to go the right way. If you don't regularly stay in God's word, it's going to be hard to build up hope in the Lord. So even when you don't feel like it, read the word, study the word. We would never get much done if we always depended on feelings, right? So read the word, because you know, even when you don't feel like reading it, you know there are benefits to knowing and reading the word. All right, just two more brief applications here. Another application would be take the word of God to heart. Just absorb it in your heart. Or the Westminster Larger Catechism says, read it with meditation and application. I think that when I get to sit in the pulpit or in the pew rather than preach in the pulpit, I always wonder how many people, when the word is read, actually apply it to themselves and for themselves. You know what I mean? Let's say that a pastor is preaching about the promises of God and he gives one promise of God, you know, I will be with you forever. I always wonder how many Christians think, oh, that's such great truth. He will be with me. That's what I mean here by take the word to heart. I can do my best to apply the word. I'm not always maybe that great at it, but I want to apply the word. But really, by God's grace, you are the ones to apply the word to yourselves. To think what it means for you. To think how this affects you, how it should change your life, how it should change your behavior, give you hope, convict you, give you comfort, and so forth. Take it to heart. And finally, live the word. Or like the Catechism says, bring forth its fruit in your life. Again, by God's grace. This is the way of life. This is the way of light. Following Jesus is the blessed way. So that's my concluding application. Respect the word. Stay in the word. Take it to heart and live it. There are so many fads today. I mentioned this before. People in our culture do fads blindly. They follow them. And we'll do it. I mean, all of us have fallen into this. They'll say, if you eat this or have this diet, you'll lose flab in 3 weeks. And we're all in. or some advertisement or some supposed expert says, if you rub lotion or a certain oil on your forehead, you'll cure your backache. And we think, we're all in. We have all these fads that we'll follow. And because of all these fads, I'm kind of cynical towards them. But the benefits from the word are not fads. These aren't things that come and go. And we should never be cynical about God's word, because there is power in it. It helps us fight sin. It helps us go the right way. It gives us understanding. It gives us hope. And it gives us life. So we, by the power of God through his Holy Spirit, want to respect it, stay in it, take it to heart. And by his grace, live it. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that we haven't always given your word proper attention. We have it in our houses and in the pews. very easily accessible to us. But please forgive us for ignoring it and not reading it and knowing it enough. Oh, Holy Spirit, please drive us more into the Word. If someone is here tonight who has not read your Word in a long time, may you convict them, oh God, and draw them to your Scriptures even this night. And for those who are regularly in the Word, we pray for continued blessing. We thank you, O Lord, that through your Word we have light and understanding. We thank you, O Lord, that you stoop to us in your Word to give us hope and to give us life in Jesus. And so we pray in his name. Amen.